When John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath was first published 75 years ago today, it was not universally embraced. Some questioned how true a picture it painted of the Dust Bowl era. The book was banned and even burned in parts of the country, but it has endured. Today, this novel about the Great Depression and the troubles of the Joad family who flee Oklahoma for a new life in California remains widely read. And as NPR's Lynn Neary reports, Steinbeck's take on the devastating effects of poverty has new meaning in these times.
Much has been said and written about the Dust Bowl. It's been well documented in photos and films, in books and music. But if you want to get a visceral feel of how it all began and of the way it affected the people who experienced it, you need go no further than the opening pages of The Grapes of Wrath.
Men stood by their fences and looked at the ruined corn, drying fast now, only a little green showing through the film of dust. The men were silent, and they did not move often. And the women came out of the houses to stand beside their men, to feel whether this time the men would break. The women studied the men's faces secretly, for the corn could go as long as something else remained.
When the book was first published in 1939, it was a bestseller. Susan Schillinglaw, professor of English at San Jose State University and author of the book On Reading the Grapes of Wrath, says it also came under fierce attack.
Part of the shock initially was resistance to believing that there was that kind of poverty in America. Other people thought that Steinbeck was a communist, and they didn't like the book because they thought that that collective action that the book is moving towards, because it really is moving from I to we, was threatening to sort of American individualism.
As powerful as the book is in its portrayal of the Dust Bowl era, Schillinglaw says The Grapes of Wrath cannot be contained by its setting. She believes Steinbeck created a timeless myth.
He saw dispossession as a theme and as a story much larger than, you know, the California story. So I think he always knew what he was about in terms of those sort of mythic parallels. Tom Joad's exit from the book, for example, you know, he exits saying, I'll be there wherever people are hungry. So he kind of says throughout time, there's going to be a need for me. And that takes the book out of the 1930s.
Now Tom said, Mom, wherever there's a cop, beating a guy, forever hungry and born baby cry, where there's a fight against blood and hatred in the air, look for me, Mom, I'll be there.
Tom Joad's final words to his mother have echoed down the years, driven not in small part by Henry Fonda's portrayal of Joad in the film version of the book.
I'll be in the way guys yell when they're mad. I'll be in the way kids laugh when they're hungry and they know supper's ready. And when the people are eating the stuff they raise and living in the houses they build, I'll be there too.
Last fall, the California-based Steinbeck Center sent three artists on the road to retrace the journey the Joads took from Oklahoma. One of them was filmmaker P.J. Palmer.
You know, it gets hot out there, and then there's thunderstorms and crazy wind, and then it snowed. I mean, every type of weather you can think of we experienced in those 10 days. It's not a comfy ride. And so I don't understand how they pulled it off in the 1930s. Must have been really, really crazy.
Palmer is finishing up a documentary on the trip.
We really wanted to come out and sort of take the temperature of the country again. Steinbeck did it back in the 30s, and we decided to take that trip to sort of see what things are like now.
Much has changed over the decades, Palmer says. The land has been restored. They didn't see any destitute families on the side of the road. But they still came across many people struggling to survive. Poverty and homelessness persist.
We've met a lot of people out of work. We met people who were kind of going through their own personal dust bowls. If it wasn't that they were unemployed or in an environmental disaster, they still had their own personal traumas and tragedies that they were working through.
Palmer interviewed some of the people they met along the way, a single dad caring for his son with cancer, a woman who lost both parents as a child, trying to start life again after leaving prison, migrant workers who now live in the same camps the Joads found in California. These and other stories are told in his film.
Being a single parent and going back to school, it's mainly just we're getting by until I graduate. So that's what we do.
I was basically on the streets from before light till long after dark, looking for a job and trying to survive the hunger.
You alone can do it, but you can't do it alone. And I think that sums up my life.
Professor Susan Schillinglaw says many people today can identify with the Grapes of Wrath.
People read their own stories into it because it's really about poverty. It's about haves and have-nots. And that story is getting increasingly urgent. You know, when we talk about the 98% of Americans who seem to be losing ground, and this is a story about people losing ground with every step of the way along, you know, Route 66. That's a story that seems like really very contemporary.
The book, says filmmaker P.J. Palmer, is also a story of survival and resilience, a powerful plea for people to work together with a sense of shared responsibility for those who have fallen on hard times.
The scary part is that much of what happened we're forgetting. There's a reason why the New Deal happened. You know, I do understand that the country had gone through an enormous environmental disaster. It had gone through a major depression. Hopefully we don't have to go through that again, but we still have these huge problems with people unable to work or find a job and people who don't have a home. And we're sort of still stripping things back. Politically, is that okay? I kind of feel like, did you guys read the book? Did you see the movie? Do you remember what happened?
75 years later, The Grapes of Wrath still is not universally loved. It remains one of the most frequently banned books in this country. But it's also a powerful reminder of a past that no one really wants to see repeated. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.